The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m. on 2SSR 99.7.
When you think Australian comedy, you just can't go past the legendary and unique Umbilical Brothers. Why do I say that? Well, it's because one half, and I'm going to publicly state the better half, mostly because it is he who is on the phone with me right now of the Umbilical Brothers, the amazingly talented Shane Dundas is here to talk about his latest stand-up comedy show that they're touring around the state and the one we're looking most forward to of their tour is this is Friday, May 19th at the Pavilion Performing Arts Centre in Sutherland. Shane, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Oh, that's so nice of you. I usually expect to be called the other Umbilical Brother. So, you know, you're having to do a slight adjustment there, and I appreciate that. Thanks, man.
Well, look, I want to talk about that, what you're often referred to. Oh, look, revealing what goes on behind the curtain of radio, we always get sent a bit of a press release, a media release from your publicist, and I was reading and I had a bit of a chuckle because it refers to you, Shane, as the Bald Brother. Are you okay with this? Yeah.
You have to be. When you go bald, you just got to become okay with it. Otherwise, you're in trouble and you get weird hair transplants and all kinds of stuff. And I'm not going that way. And, you know, such is my imagination. I can imagine my own hairstyles.
You've never thought of going down the avenue of a Merkin or something like that?
Merkin on the head. Yeah. You know, you've got me thinking now. I thought, I could start wearing it down there and put it up on the head. Why not?
Exactly. Well, you know, Shane, in the modern crazy politically correct world we live in, is being referred to as the bald one, could that be considered baldest, you know, like racist, but for bald people?
I think that's an area they haven't quite gotten to yet. Because there are other people being abused who possibly should be attended to. But yes, bald. Southerners in the US, I think they're still fair game for people, and sometimes for good reason, but not always. You know, there's different people in this world. Yeah. But the baldest. Okay. I might take that and use it against people from now on who call me bald.
Yeah, look, I like that. But you know, to be called someone a bald people, is that you know, the correct terminology, or would you prefer maybe hair challenged or follically resistant?
Follically resistant. I like that. An FR. I'm an FR. hair challenge. That's great. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I think I may have even written that the balder of the two, I think is what I wrote.
Yeah.
just a slightly twisted.
And I was wondering, does your partner in crime there with the Umbilical Brothers, does he deliberately grow his hair long as a bit of a tease for you? Is that what's going on there?
I think he always has. You know, he's we met a long time ago in acting school, and back then he had this kind of coif. A coif of thick hair. Ooh. Coming out the top of his hair, like short around the back, and this poof coming out the top. So but back then I kind of had a almost a Prince Valiant hairstyle.
Ooh.
You know, it was this kind of long hair and just started thinning at the top, and I thought, this is not going in a good direction. And it was never a good idea to do the Prince Valiant in the first place. I look at old pictures of myself as a kid, and I've got a sort of page boy haircut, you know, that sort of straight across, down, straight around the back, and I think, oh, you know, bald is better than that.
Yeah.
So I'm just clinging to that. Yeah, bald, go bald, go.
I think you know, our sort of generations before, you know, who were around before social media, when we look back at photos of ourselves when we were younger, it's because we didn't have social media and selfies that we weren't quite aware of how bad our hair looked, all the outfits we wore.
Well, that's a crazy thing. A lot of the fashions now look just like those pictures, which is the young kids. The kids are wearing stuff that I wore as a kid because it all comes around and around and around.
It does. It was a mistake then. It's a mistake now.
Every 15 years, a new mistake is just an old one recycled.
Now, Shane, let's talk about the show you're touring. It is, after all, award-winning, winning the best comedy at the 2010 Adelaide Fringe. It's on its way to the Shire. It's called The Distraction. What can people expect when they come to see the show?
Well, this 2021 Adelaide Fringe winner is very silly, actually. It's one of the silliest shows you're ever going to see. And it's called The Distraction because it's about what do you look at on the stage. You've come to see a show. We've got green screens on stage with cameras. We're performing in front of these green screens with the cameras, but right above us, there's a huge movie screen, and all of this is mixed live into special effects. So you see us live on the screen above us within scenes of special effects, all kinds of things like in space, under the sea, all sorts of stuff. So what do you look at? What is the distraction? The real people on the stage or the screen you're looking at above? And I know I'd be looking at the screen. Yeah. I mean, we all do.
We're glued to it.
We're glued to it. So, yeah, it's like a big – it's like with this show, you can see the stuff we're imagining all above us and we're inside it. So it's kind of cool and a little bit of a mind game for you.
You get off your screen to go to the theatre to watch the screen.
Right. Because we can never be away from our screen for more than about 30 seconds, right?
I'm going to put my hand up and say, guilty. Now, technically speaking, you know, green screens, monitors on stage, is that hard to get used to? Or did you need a lot of practice to prepare for this show?
It took ages. It took a couple of years of not constant preparation, but because of lockdown and stuff. But we did workshop, and it took longer than any other show to get this right. And we're working and co-creating the show with a guy called Doug Bain, who's a special effects genius. And he sits on stage live and mixes it all live. So we can be sort of repeated on the screen, we can be delayed, and it's all him mixing it live. And so, that was hard to get used to because for me, I could just stand anywhere on stage and imagine the thing I'm in. With this, I've got to stand exactly in the right spot if we want my head to explode. Yeah. So, you know, that kind of stuff.
And the show is also part audience participation as well. How's that going?
But you don't have to, as an audience, you don't have to do anything. You just sit there. We provide the participation. Like, we occasionally point the camera at the audience so they come up on the screen, and it could be that one of your heads will explode, but you'll be fine. You'll just see it explode. We'll have questions from the audience, but it won't be actual audience members talking. It'll be our mouths over the audience faces. So whatever we decide to be the questions will be the questions asked of us. That kind of weird stuff. So you just have to sit there and enjoy yourself being someone else. It's awesome.
That sounds like perfectly organized chaos, which is hilarious to begin with.
Silly.
That's it. Now, the Umbilical Brothers, of course, known mostly for your ability to do crazy sound effects. How did you get into that? What was your inspiration, or was it just one day you realized you could do this and this was funny?
I think that was it. You know, a lot of people say, oh, was it that guy from Police Academy, the movies, you know, Michael Winslow. Yeah, amazing, amazing vocalist, and I can't do what he can do. But really, it was that. It was just play. When we're kids, we do that. We make these noises as we play. I just never stopped. So you could say I'm in a state of arrested development, possibly. But
Peter Pan going on.
We've monetized childishness. That's what we've done. And we used to muck around. So, yeah, we met in acting school.
Yeah.
And after the lectures, we'd sneak back into the lecture theatre because there was a PA system. And just for a joke, I used to... Oh, it's a gun. That's so funny. Do stuff like that. I've evolved slightly since then. We just did a joke. And then, again, as a joke, we had a few mime classes because you do in acting school.
Yeah.
It was only about 2 weeks of mime. And as a joke, I added sound effects to a mime routine that we created for David to do. And people loved it. We did it live. Like that,
yeah.
And the kids loved it. All the other students, and we thought we're onto something. So it just started as a joke, and so I just kept doing the noises. And the secret for me is, don't think about it. Don't think about how to do it. Just imagine it. That's the secret.
Right.
Be it. Be the noise. Be the noise.
Be the noise. Yeah. Well, I was going to ask. You know, how do you work out how to do it? But obviously, just imagine it, and there it comes. But what's the hardest sound effect you've ever tried doing? If that's
well, there are some question. Yeah, tinkly, yeah. Tinkly, winkly noises like keys rattling. I can't do keys like see. I can't do that. I can do the heavier ones like lightsabers, whatever, trucks, birds, whatever, you know, that stuff. But tinkly, winkly things, dropping your keys, little. That kind of stuff I can't do. So that's why you never have keys in our show. There are no key scenes.
Lucky there's no actual audience questions, because I'd be going to the pavilion and asking about keys.
Yeah, and I've just misled you, because I just realised we do have some keys in the show. I just don't make noises for them.
Now, what's one of the greatest standout moments you've had performing on stage with your comedy?
Well, let's see. There's an interesting day. We did Woodstock 99, you know, the famous festival that kind of all went to heck. We did two bits. We did one on the East stage, which was the really big stage. We did a routine pretending to be guys making an announcement about drugs. And then it kind of all went. In front of like maybe 100,000 people, going on after James Brown. That was amazing. And we came on, so we're making an announcement about drugs. Some of you may have taken some illegal substances. It's important that you... So we kind of made the audience feel like they were having a drug-induced experience while they were watching us. And that went really well. So we thought, we are comedy gods. We just did this. And then we went to the other stage, the West stage, in front of several thousand heavy rock fans. And we just decided to do one of our routines. Big mistake. You know, in hindsight, it's really easy to see that hard rock fans don't want to see a couple of mimes in the middle of their music festival. So we died. So that day was completely memorable because we got some perspective. You can be gods and you can die on the same day. And that's life, right?
Well, that leads me to my next question, because doing such unique comedy that you do you find that your style of comedy is more appreciated in front of certain audiences or states or even countries? Do you find, you know, say like Melbourne audiences are more appreciative than Sydney audiences or UK audiences to Australian audiences?
It's interesting. There's a universality to it because it's quite... It connects to the child in us that is still in all of us, even in these trying times. And I think that's a great thing. The weirder stuff that we do works really well in Holland for some reason. They like weird stuff.
Right.
Like it doesn't have to have that much of a plot. In America, we need to do a bit more of a plot because they appreciate a story. It doesn't mean they're, you know, cleverer or less clever. They particularly like a certain plot, a context. Melbourne, we've always, I think, been considered a curiosity because we're not stand-up. But that's been good for us because we're like the alternative. We're the alternative to stand up, and there's not that much of that around nowadays. So it's different in different ways to different people, and the country or regional areas just love the fact that we've come out to perform for them. And that's, oh man, they're the best audiences, really. Really, the short answer to your question is country regional audiences are just the best because they're just there to have fun. They're not going in with any kind of, oh, well, you've got to live up to this kind of expectation or you're not this or whatever. You're just what you are.
Yeah.
And I love that.
That's perfect. That is perfect. Now, let's get back to why you're here. What is something that you hope people get out of your new show, The Distraction?
I want them to be completely transported from wherever they are in their lives to somewhere completely different and be taken on a journey of so many segues and detours that they have no idea where they are by the end. Like, it's just fun. It's just fun. F-U-N. Fun. Yep, that's all.
I love it. And how many... It's been over 30 years since you guys formed and still making audiences laugh. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and it is my exercise. It's my only exercise. So if I stop this, I'd creak. Yeah. I would seize up within a week. So, yeah, during lockdown, you know, we had those periods where we couldn't do anything as performers. So getting back into it, I was going, the leg, it's not working, but yeah. Now it's working again.
A little bit of stretching, you know.
Bit of stretch. Yeah, we've always been really lazy.
Yeah. And you can do the sound effects as you stretch your body too. It'd be hilarious at the gym.
Yeah, that's right. I can do the sound effect of a groin muscle snapping because that happened once on tour. It just went, heard this little. It was about 5 minutes before the end of a show in Holland, three days before the end of a tour. And I had to act as a monkey afterwards. And it was, that monkey weren't climbing nowhere, man. It was just staying on the ground. Oh.
It wasn't a chimp, it was a chump. Yeah.
That's right. A chimpanzee.
A chimpanzee. Oh, Shane. The Distraction, live on stage on Friday the 19th of May at the Pavilion Performing Arts Centre, with tickets available from the umbilicalbrothers.com website or direct through the pavilionarts.au website. Shane, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, absolute pleasure, Troy.
Hope it's not too much of a disaster. Will he get through an entire show without offending someone? We are so open with the Troy Murphy Show. Have a yabba dabba doo time. A dabba doo time. You'll have a